Hey, everybody, this is Caddy. We're in the first cafe of 2022. And as usual, keeping to form, we have John Taylor to help us kick off the year. Hey, JT, how are you?
Hello. I'm good.
That's
good. Thank you for asking.
Very good to hear. I know that you guys are, you know, coming off a super busy time, hopefully going into a super busy time. So we will jump. We're going to jump right in. And I'm trying to think the last time I spoke to you, I think it was November. It was either September or November. So Future Past is out. And so for the first time, Duran Duran released several singles to promote their new album. And that's something new for the band. And I just wondered what it felt like for you to do something so different, if you liked it, what you thought of that.
Yeah, I liked having a lot of songs out before the album. I mean, you know, it's something that, you know, a lot of people around us said, oh, this is what you need to do. So you know, we went along with that plan. And I mean, it was quite confusing in some ways. You know, there was a lot of different platforms, there was a lot of different versions. You know, some songs were, you know, going to radio. Mm-hmm. Some songs were just little freebies. You know, I mean, I hope that, and I actually, as I, what I was going to say was, I hope that the album still, you know, had a lot to offer when it came out. I think it did. I think that there's still a lot to the album. And even though we gave away, you know, five or six songs, I mean, we didn't give them away, but there were five or six songs available before the album came out. I still feel that there was still a lot of music that arrived, you know, to complete the album when it came out.
I wondered if in the few shows you did play at the end of 2021, if you felt maybe the audience knew more of the new material or not.
You know, it's really hard to tell. I think people, you know, in the UK were excited by the songs that they'd heard. I mean, Radio 2 had played the pants off the first three mm-hmm. songs. So, and I think those were the songs that we were playing. So, you know, a lot of people in the audience were quite familiar with Invisible, at least an Anniversary. You know, you got the feeling that people knew those songs and were feeling them when we played them.
Oh, that's cool. So if it was up to you and you guys somehow miraculously released another album in 18 months, do you like putting out a lot of music up front, or do you sort of feel like the other way was better?
Oh man, I can't even begin to think about that. I mean, you know, I would say I don't think the album has found, I mean, you know, something that people, we say in the music business, you know, I don't know that the album has found its audience. Mm. You know, I think that the fans, it really connected with the diehards, that, you know, they really, really like it. Mm-hmm. But to me, there's a lot more out there, you know, and I feel that the album hasn't connected with a broader audience. So as yet, I would say that, you know, I wouldn't say for certain that this plan had worked. Mm. And you know, by the time the next album comes out, there'll probably be a completely different approach to releasing music. We're so old school, you know, we're so tied into, you know, product and, you know, and of course, you know, people, you know, other than our diehards, you know, a lot of people don't really care that much about physical product anymore, you know, so you have to find ways. I mean, you've got to find ways to get the music to people. And it's always been a problem, I should say, in this phase of our careers.
Right.
You know, in the post-astronaut phase, it's always been a problem because there hasn't been, you know, an obvious format for the music to, certainly in America, right? I mean, where do you hear the music on the radio? You know, where do you hear the music? In what public forum? You know, where would you hear the music in America? Nowhere. And, you know, and in the UK, as I mentioned, Radio 2 played the shit out of those songs. But, you know, I don't know that many of the people that were listening to the music on Radio 2 went out and bought the album when it came out.
Right. I don't know. I guess I always say if I had the answer, I'd be president of a record label. I do think, well, this could go off into its own tangent. I think people like my kids' age, maybe not your kids' age, but they hear it all online. Like on TikTok, though, I don't even mean a streaming service. And I find that such an offensive way to listen to music. It's like 30 seconds. And I'm like, yuck. Yeah. But anyway, that Future Past did get terrific reviews. And I don't think that you guys are, well, I shouldn't put words in your mouth. So I'll stop what I'm saying. But this is the first Duran Duran album in my memory that I've worked for you that ended up on so many notable year-end lists. And I just wondered, you know, how that made you feel. Does that sort of validate anything for you? Or
I think it's the nature of the restless, you know, artistic type that it's less about, you know, where you are noticed and less more about where you aren't, you know. And, you know, we have inured ourselves over the years not to look to media for validation. You know, we were just hammered so hard when we were kids, you know, in the 80s, that, you know, I'm very trepidatious about reviews and looking to reviews, you know, because, you know, when you start noticing the reviews and you start noticing those year-end lists, then you start noticing the non-reviews or the non-year-end lists. The thing is, I mean, there's so much media out there. There's more media out there than ever before. So, you know, so somebody sends me a list, hey, you're in number 10 in the blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, well, what is this? I've never even heard of it, you know. So
I probably sent that to you. I get it. There is a lot of media, but I find that there's such an appreciation for Duran Duran that probably, to me, just started around Paper Gods. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. So the anniversary video to me was sort of, and it's hard for me to come into this like as a fan would, like hearing the album all at once, sitting down, having that experience. But to me, it was like the cherry on top of the cake. That video is definitely one of the best videos you guys have ever done. I wondered what that experience was like for you, because you haven't filmed such a big video probably since Girl Panic. And if your Elton John was as diva-esque as he seemed in your double take.
I mean, I agree. I mean, I think it's the most amazing video we've done in a long time. But again, I feel like not that many people saw it, you know. And I was kind of disappointed in a way that it wasn't, you know, that more people didn't get more noticed outside of the fan community. Because the fan community is one thing, you know, and they're on it, they're in it, you know.
Right.
Outside of that. And I felt that it should have had more, you know, I don't know. It should have been everywhere, that video. I mean, everybody should have been talking about it. It was so meta, you know, it was so it was ironic. It was celebratory. It was like, it was just kind of brilliant. I was just kind of disappointed that more people, you know, didn't meet it. Yeah, I mean, it was a lot of fun to make. You know, the lookalikes were all kind of extraordinary, you know, and they were like, you know, and it was interesting being in the middle of them all, you know. And I mean, you know, he was the guy Elton, you know, he was a bit of a diva, but only because, you know, in his defense, he was being asked to wear an extremely hot and heavy outfit, so I understood his frustrations.
I heard, or when I watched your double take documentary, that one of Allison's talents is that sort of if you saw these guys at like a chip shop, they would not look as much like whomever, Elton John, Daniel Craig, the Queen, that she gets them at like a certain angle that just really captures that essence. Am I misstating?
You know, one of the interesting things I found about working with them all is that every one of them has a best look.
Yeah.
So a best side.
Yeah.
And when we were getting ready to take to do a take, you know, the assistant director would say, okay, lookalikes, best sides, and they'd all go, I mean, when I was working with the Daniel Craig, you know, and the cameraman was lining up the shot and asked him, you know, what's your best side? And he said, oh, it's definitely this one, you know. It's like, okay, so no, I mean, they were very, very charming and it was tremendous enthusiasm from them all. You know, it was like, I just wanted to make a sitcom based on them all. You know, I just thought it was, you know, there was like it was an interesting community. And then on top of that, the band lookalikes were really fun to work with, you know. And, you know, I mean, I talked about this in the documentary, but, you know, we were getting ready for them to do their, you know, to walk up and do their thing. And I suddenly thought, do they know how to play? Mm-hmm. You know, and nobody had really considered that, you know. So, and the keyboard player said, yeah, I can play drums. And the drummer said, yeah, I can play guitar. And, you know, I mean, the singer had got his shit figured out, but, you know, it was quite, quite fun sort of giving them all like sort of a brief.
Yeah, yeah.
About how to present themselves. I enjoyed that. That was really good fun.
Especially because they were the younger, much, you know, beginning Duran Duran. So probably your technical skill at that time isn't what it is today. But what do I know?
I don't know about that.
So I think you guys, I'm feeling really positive that there will be some summer shows. At least we know there are some European summer shows, and my fingers are crossed for more than that. What are you looking forward to more? Reconnecting with fans that this has probably been the longest that you guys haven't consistently played out because of COVID, or playing the new songs, introducing the new music to people?
Enjoy building a show. You know, and, you know, I think a couple of the shows we did last year were some of the best shows, you know, we'd ever done, which they should be, you know, because like you just said, we know so much more now than we did when we were in our 20s. I mean, I think it just feels like an opportunity. You know, it's the industry's changed so much, you know, and it's quite frustrating sometimes trying to connect with listeners. And, you know, and I think that the live experience, there's still something really, you know, irreplaceable about that experience. You know, I mean, I'm always saying my favorite part of life is when the lights go down, mm-hmm. you know, and we start that journey, you know, that 90-minute, 120-minute journey that just where it's all about the music and we're in control, you know, and I do, you know, I do really love that, you know, and that has always been a great source of energy for me. Mm-hmm. You know, the studio is a different, you know, for me, it requires a lot of patience and a lot of tenacity and determination, all qualities that I do not have a lot of. Whereas once you get out there on the stage, it's very different. So and it compensates for me, the two things balance out. So yeah, I mean I'm confident that these European concerts are going to go ahead. But you know, who would have thought that we'd still be dealing with it this year? You know, who thought we would still be dealing with it?
Nick,
you know,
and I said no, but yeah, well, okay. Do you have of the new songs? What have you enjoyed playing in the few live shows you've done? Is there something that you really just can't wait to get on each night?
Yeah, I mean, Anniversary is a really, really good romp. you know, and, you know, an invisible, I really like the space in it, you know, it's got a, I mean, I like, you know, I like the new album music a lot. I'm really quite proud of it actually. And, I think really everything that we've played, you know, I've enjoyed playing. I mean, it's the acid test really, you know, when you take it to the stage. And, you know, I don't do favorites, Caddy, so don't ask me what my favorite tracks are.
I won't. I know you.
You know, but I think we've, you know, I think we know what we're doing at this point in terms of, you know, the album and the songs off the album. But, I, you know, I don't know what the next steps are, you know, with the songs.
Mm.
You know, we, you know, what, if any, is going to, you know, what's going to come next. I don't know.
I know I've said this to you before, but nobody looks happier on stage to me than you. And you and Simon just recently did the Bowie celebration. Mm. You were a guest of Mike Garson, and you two did a terrific version of Let's Dance. I don't know if you've seen the finished.
I haven't.
Oh, I can send it to you. But you just smile throughout the whole thing. It's so great.
Like an idiot.
No, not like an idiot at all. It's really great. I will send it to you. And you know, I was watching it, and my Brian said he always smiles in a nice way, not like an idiot. It's really great. What did you get assigned? Let's Dance by Mike. Oh, yeah, that's a good assignment.
Yeah. And I mean, I know that song so well, you know, it's such a monster, and but I've never played it. And actually, I was once more trepidatious about approaching it and thinking, oh, my God, how am I going to? And then I started playing it. And I was like, oh, actually, it's quite easy, isn't it? and then it was just a way of finding a way of doing it. It was a little different. You know, and actually I recorded the bass after Simon did the vocals, and I went in and heard what Simon had done. I was like, wow. I mean, I thought he really did a fantastic job with the vocals. So that, and that gave me a little bit more leeway to just, you know, to just be a little different.
Yeah.
You know, because on the one hand, you know, you've kind of, you know, it's a bit of a sacred cow, that song. I mean, obviously it didn't have the same kind of depth of significance that 5 years had the year before, but you know, it was still fun. It was still fun to do. And you know, and I mean, just fitting in with the Bowie band is a, you know, is a kick.
It was nice seeing Stan Harrison the saxophone. So I have one last question for you before we let you out of the cafe. You received a huge honor in 2021 from Bass Player Magazine, a lifetime achievement. And that's weird. That's just like weird for like a friend of mine, like someone I know, it's been a lifetime achievement. And then just the other day, Simon was a guest on NPR's World Cafe. And even though it was Simon's interview, the interviewer who had done so much research isolated your bass part on Rio and said to Simon, when you guys were young and you were in your 20s and you were in the studio and you heard him play this, like, did you blow? And Simon, you know, said, yeah, you know, it did. And so is it weird to be thought of as one of the best bass players in the world? I mean, you have to own it, dude. You can't aw shucks me on this anymore. I mean, you can.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it is. I mean, again, it's, I mean, some of the people that they've given, some of the players that they've given the award to, and you know, to be in the company of men and women like that, it's pretty special. You know, I think that you know, what can I say? You know, what do they call it when somebody is like a teacher or a mentor, a priest,
a mentor?
No, it's like they you know, if you've really got to have you know, you've really got to want to do it. You know, it's quite a tough road, bass playing. You know, it's not. I mean, I probably out of every bass player you ever know probably gets more from being a bass player than most bass players typically have to be content with. You know, really, you know, sitting in the back and just you know, steadily keeping the show on the road. Mm-hmm. You know, I get a lot of feedback for what I do. But, you know, I think, you know, we're at a time in music where there's a change in the way, you know, music is being played and what is being used to make music, you know, and less, you know, electric instruments like basses and guitars are, you know, playing a significant role in new music, you know. So I think I kind of feel like, you know, it's important to represent, you know, because that instrument has been really good to me. And, you know, so, I mean, I was really, you know, I mean, typically, John, if you know me, you'll appreciate this, because the guy came on and said to me, John, we want you to know, we've given you this, you're the recipient of our bass player, you know, lifetime achievement. I said, well, that's amazing, amazing. He goes, yeah, and you're in very good company, because, you know, we're also giving it to this YouTube guy who is like, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, wait a minute, what?
Wait, more than just me? Yeah. I actually do know you, and I think that you were very humbled. I would think, because I feel like, and it might be your upbringing, that too many compliments, I believe, make you uncomfortable, but maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong about that.
You can't eat them, can you? Compliments.
No.
You know, you can't eat them, and you can't have sex with them. You know, no. At the end of the day, they come and you know, you do with them. I mean, you know, we got so spoiled, you know. I mean, my God. I mean, what was laid on us when we were in our early 20s, you know, mm-hmm. you know, by a world audience was, I always feel like I was kind of spoiled in a way by that. You can kind of get jaded if you're not careful quite easily. But, you know, listen, Bass Player Magazine, I'm framing it. That's how important it was.
It is. It's in the timeline. It's just an extraordinary achievement, and one that you definitely deserve, in my opinion. I mean, I don't play bass, but anyway, John, thank you so much for coming into the cafe. I think you are not back here until May. So the weather will have changed, at least where I am and probably where you are. You should have, well, you wouldn't have played many shows yet, but we should hopefully have some more news on more shows and more exciting things to talk about. So I really do thank you for spending the time with us.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. Thanks.
Always
Thanks,
a pleasure. Katie. Thank you, JT. Yeah. We'll speak to you soon.
Bye.